Welcome to the Wedding Songs Podcast, featuring newly released songs you need to know and the tried and true classics. Get song ideas from the time guests arrive until the last dance of the reception. And now your host, Matt Campbell, founder of MyWeddingSongs.com.
Welcome everybody to the Wedding Songs Podcast. I am Matt Campbell. Today we're going to be sharing an inspirational DJ story and also about booking DJs for your wedding. To help me along with this is Jay the DJ, also known as DJ Lyrics. Welcome to the show, Jay.
How you doing, Matt?
Now that you're on the show and sharing your story, I do really appreciate it. So before we get started, can you just share, like we do every podcast, a little heartwarming or memorable wedding moment?
A good wedding moment. We're talking maybe a few years back. We had a couple that they were very young, 18, two very supportive families, Latino and Caucasian. Just watching them, their joy together, the way that he would concern himself about her and making sure she was having a good time. It was very beautiful to see two young people like that. We became friends with them, my wife and I, and we've watched their story grow over the last few years. They just had a baby. And it's interesting. It's their moment. They left a beautiful video review for us, and it was just seeing them together was just really, really nice. They just had a beautiful connection.
Yeah, it's funny how you can look at couples and know which ones are going to last for absolute 100%. It's inspirational for sure. You mentioned your wife that they left a video review for both of you. Did she help out with your shows at all?
So my wife helps with every event. She sets up all the gear, breaks down the gear. She won't let me do it. I used to do everything, but she was like, I want to do more. She sets up two EV Evolves, a table, mixer board, cables, all within like 7 minutes. She's a champ.
That's awesome. And it's free labor. So that's nice too. So this is the part I usually ask. Hey, tell me a little bit about you and your background DJing. So I'm going to have you expand on that. If you could just share what you want to share about how you got into being a DJ and where you are today.
So we'd have to track back about a little over 27 years ago. When I first got interested in DJing, I was a child listening to my boombox. I had a small little gray boombox living in North Hollywood, California. And it basically was me listening to a DJ on the radio on K-Day. And I heard a DJ named DJ Melody, which is one of the Beat Junkies. There was DJ Icy Ice as well. But Melody captured, I was listening to a mix. And I was like, man, I want to learn how to do that. So with that, it kind of lit a fire. After that, I was about 13, was breakdancing. I would see DJs and everything. So about 15 years old, my parents were Jehovah's Witnesses, so they were very strict. I wanted to move out. I didn't want to be rude and run away, so I told my dad I didn't want to live there anymore. I had a friend of mine named Mike. His parents took me in. My parents said, that's fine. They didn't do it in a legal fashion, but my parents knew I was living up the street. And so his parents had bought a three-plex town home. We had our own apartment, Mike and I. What ended up happening was we had the DJ equipment set up. I started using his DJ equipment at night because he didn't trust teaching friends anymore because other friends turned her back on him. And I started learning how to DJ, and I would teach myself on techniques and an old Gemini mixer, and next thing you know, I learned how to DJ. Now, at the time, I assumed I was probably really good at it, but I was pretty mediocre up until early 2000s when a few other DJs taught me how to get better. We're still using Roll Vinyl. Serato was just barely making it into the scene. It's been an incredible inspiration for me, just seeing, being motivated by all these DJs and just kind of going from there. Fast forward a few years later, I started doing weddings about 20 years ago. That really changed a lot for me. So because I was doing weddings, to see people's reactions, it inspired me to want to continue that successful route. So yeah, it made me incredibly happy, and it's what inspired me to DJ.
Where are you today then? You were mentioning California and then Vegas. How did that all transpire to where you are today?
That's a great question. About 9 years back, I met my wife. I was doing some weddings here and there. She made the decision to move us to Vegas almost 7 years ago in November. That move was something I was really afraid of. And she said, you're either coming with me or you're staying. And so we moved here to Las Vegas, obviously the wedding capital. Our success grew tenfold. It just was incredible to see how I did. Because when I first moved here, I didn't immediately start the company. We had the idea, but I was working for other companies trying to understand the venues and locations, and they weren't paying me much. Being here, it was a new journey. My wife got really involved. She bought me all my gear. This gear never leaves the house, but we just kind of grew from there. We didn't expect the projections that we had. And moving here to Vegas, we are 5-star rated. We do really, really well. And it's just been a journey that was unexpected, but incredibly successful.
When you started All at One Events LLC, plug, moving from another city to here, I did the same, but I was like, man, I don't really want to start all over again. Looking back, I would have done the same exact thing that you did. I would have worked for other people first just before I would have started my own company just to know the lay of the land. How were you able to get out from under the wing of those companies you were working for to go alone and create those relationships to get the gigs in Vegas?
There was a company, two companies. I won't say their names, but what they did was give an ultimatum of, hey, you either work for us or you stay broke. In that year, All in One Events LLC was born. I did what I've always done, and I basically said, hey, I'm going to make this work. My wife and I, we spoke a game plan. We're not really good at writing and doing all that stuff. Yeah. So we spoke a game plan. We decided we're going to blow it out of the water. We went through a few venues and just asked to be on their vendors list. One venue took a chance on us and we blew them out of the water with the work ethic that we have, how I MC, my wife walking and releasing tables one at a time instead of saying it on a microphone. They were just very impressed with the way we built our timeline for these clients. And then obviously we paid for a way to get leads and just closing clients and developing a vision for them as far as what we offer. So getting away from the companies that kind of wanted to control me wasn't really difficult when I put my foot down and said, well, I can do this myself. I don't need to be disrupted. I just need to figure out how to make more money for me versus making you more money and paying me less.
Thanks for sharing that, because I know that's such a hard thing to do. That's scary, but also invigorating that you're in control of your own destiny.
It is, because in life, you feel like you have to abide by rules that are given away from entrepreneurship. And when you discover entrepreneurship, you realize if you're stern enough with yourself and good at something, you can build something that will make you an income that gives you time freedom. I've worked a lot of things like multi-level marketing, and I've done sales my entire life. And I realized I don't want to cheat people out of anything. I liked working at the gym because it was my first sales job, was working at Bally Total Fitness, and changing lives was my motivation. So with weddings, we change a life. We give them something to remember. We give them something to talk about for the years to come. And that it's an incredible thing that you can have in your repertoire as far as an emotional value of what you do for work in this business.
Absolutely. So you talked about getting on a preferred vendor list. What were other strategies that you put in place to book your events as you're starting from scratch, and even today?
Some of the strategies have to do with making sure that we're not overselling, but we're explaining exactly what we're going to do. And then on the day of, we make sure that that is what is given. Then from there, everything else was making sure that I'm on the phone with the clients. See, everything can be written out and clients can look at your website and they can read a bunch of things, but not everybody has the same concept we do as an older crowd, because the younger ones are like, I just need to know the price. They don't want to read paragraphs anymore. So I had to find a way to visually capture what's going to get them to want to be interested in speaking to me, what's going to get them to want to give me the time of the day to hear what I have to say. Because the moment they hear what I have to say, then once I paint that picture, I've had brides cry on the phone as I explain what I'm going to do from ceremony to reception, and they visualize it and it just becomes an emotional connection that it doesn't matter what the cost is. They could have a DJ that says, I'll do it for $200, and they're like, nah, I'd rather go with Jay, because the strategy is be transparent, be honest, and deliver the picture that you're explaining.
I think that's so important. It's interesting you're talking about couples reaching out to you and actually talking to them and finding that as a challenge. I read on a DJ board recently that a DJ will not work with any couple that doesn't meet at least once in person before their wedding. And I think that that's kind of what you're saying, where you have to paint that picture and have that personal connection with that couple and then showcase that at their reception too. You have to show the goods.
One thing I will tell you, I do not meet my clients in person ever until the day of. In California, they wanted to meet at least once. I knew the locations they were going to. So I always felt like it was a waste of time to go there, to look at stuff and, you know, you're talking to them, and then sometimes they would say no anyway because it was a financial thing. So I do believe vetting a person over the phone before you physically meet them, if they're adamant about wanting to meet you, it's very important. And so these are things that are lost nowadays in the way that people want to close deals. For example, a very big common thing you see in sites now is they have their price, and that price is supposed to be the trigger of whether you're getting those leads that want to move forward with you or you're getting the leads that don't. And so it's washing away the unnecessary while keeping what is necessary, right? And I'm the kind of person that's like, well, that person doesn't know if they really want to go with you because they haven't spoken to you. Speaking to me versus spending time meeting each other it's higher on the totem pole for me, because if they speak to me, then they hear my sincerity. And I've always believed in sales. If you can sell yourself without having anything visually there, then you're obviously doing the best job possible because there's effort placed in that. I used to sell 3-year memberships of Bally Total Fitness inside a mall where there was no gym. And I didn't have to put them through a walkthrough. And if you've ever been to a gym, you know how that is when they do that before you sign the waiver. So they would give me a credit card and pay $1,000 for 3 years up front. And my boss was like, how do you do that? And I go, because it's how you speak to people. If there's a connection within the vocal words that you're saying, they're going to take that trust in you, and your word has to be bond. It has to be gold, and you deliver, like you said, the goods. I don't personally meet any of my clients in person, but I do make them feel as if they were standing in front of me when I speak to them over the phone.
Yeah, that's great. Even with Zoom nowadays, it just depends on how your couples want to speak to you. Like you said, it's a different world that we're in now. The older people, we want to meet in person to have that personal connection. We're not able to get that through the phone, whereas kids these days, that's their life is on the phone.
Yeah, like they say, handshakes create connection. That's what people sometimes, like you said, the clients that are more in their prime have that, want that relationship. They're like, hey, you live in the area. Could we meet up, grab a cup of coffee, go over the contract and everything? And then that handshake solidifies that connection of you're the person I want to go with. The kids nowadays, they're like, hey, what's your Instagram? Do you have any videos? So that's their solidification. That's their handshake. That's their seal of approval, right?
Yep. Speaking of handshakes, do you think it's worthwhile going after venues or other vendors to get on their preferred vendor lists?
I do believe that it's important that we develop relationships. One relationship that's hard for me to have developed is with coordinators or wedding planners. And the reason is because of everything that I do and my wife does. We do the organizing. We do the planning. We set up the timeline. We make sure that everything runs smooth. Ergo, we don't need a planner or coordinator to direct us because we are the directors of the event. And so I think it bothers them when the clients speak to us and we reorganize what they envisioned, because reality, not to say that coordinators and planners aren't experienced, the reality is we're the ones creating the experience. We're the ones that know where the speakers are supposed to be set up, the way the room is supposed to be set up, the way that it's just going to function more appropriately when it comes to grand entrances, locations for seating for speeches, cake cutting, and all that other jazz that goes on within a wedding reception, right? So I always tell coordinators, you focus on the ceremony and everything, leave the reception to me. I got it covered. Because if not, they can throw me off because they're the ones falling behind.
Well, I think that you're in an interesting position where you have your wife there as well. That's also kind of a day of coordinator, and you guys have your experience. So yeah, I could see a lot of toes being stepped on that you'd have to walk that fine line with planners. And I've talked to planners on the podcast too, and they feel the same way, where DJs are stepping on their toes in any vendor to vendor relationships. I think it just comes down to respect.
Right. And here's the thing. I respect all the coordinators. I do my best to pay attention to what they're doing, but my job is not to make them happy. My job is to make the clients happy. I tell vendors, it's my job to make your job easier, because I'm aware of the timeline. I'm aware of what we need to move forward with. If you tell me, oh, no, we're not ready for that yet. Well, then what's going on? We should be. See, me, I speak to the catering manager, the person that's bringing the cake, the dessert table person. I speak to everybody, and I get everybody within that day completely coordinated. These are the times we have to have everything. Are you going to be late? sometimes people have food trucks that come and they're serving pizza or something. That's going to cause a delay. So it's a natural delay that's unexpected regardless. It's my job to reiterate that to the clients, to let them know. So when I do those things, venues love that about me. Coordinators, not so much. The venues, they're like, this guy's on top of his game. We don't need anybody extra. So again, it's not to belittle or say that coordinators or anything like that is not useful. They are bread and butter to brides when it comes to getting everything ready till the day of. It's just, I believe that certain trust should be placed on good, professional, well-trained DJs to be able to create that evening to function properly.
Exactly the point that I was going to make. No matter who the vendors are, one of the biggest things of the whole night is to keep a decent timeline, because if you have even a half an hour space in there, that could ruin the whole night where guests are leaving. It just doesn't create a very happy vibe.
Time for a quick break from the show to let you know about the wedding music letter. Are you struggling to find the wedding songs that match your personality and music style? Are you having a hard time keeping up with the new wedding songs being released? Then subscribe today to the wedding music letter by going to my website, myweddingsongs.com, and clicking on the Join Now button. Every Wednesday, you'll get song ideas to build your wedding playlists. On the last day of the month, you'll get all of the new wedding songs released from the prior month. So subscribe today and join over 7,000 other engaged couples and wedding pros by going to myweddingsongs.com and joining the wedding music letter today. Now back to the show.
We all know that you have to have connections with the venues. Have you had success getting referrals from other types of wedding pros?
Yeah, I'm in different groups as well. I get tagged a lot. When somebody says the word DJ in a post, Jay Rivas is the first person people are tagging. And it's not just vendors, it's previous brides as well. I think my strongest connection in vendors is photographers and videographers. We're like, I got three amazing companies I love to work with out here, and that's Anthony Constantine, Shots by Knox, and Mario Ramirez. They're incredible companies that just, we flow well when we work together. It's really, really good. And, you know, a lot of the things that I've done as well, venues have adopted. When we do timelines, I'm the kind of person that pushes first dance immediately after grand entrance. So I see a lot of venues suddenly do that. We're going to do first dance right after grand entrance. I even push parent dances up. I'll do grand entrance, first dance. I'll sell them on the idea of right after first dance, dad comes up to you, grabs you by the hand again. So first dad passed you over to John, and now John's going to pass you over to dad for father-daughter dance. It looks beautiful in pictures, amazing on video. When I sell them on that, they're like, oh yeah, let's just get that out of the way. Bam, 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 bam. Then we go to dinner, speech, cake cutting, and then open dance or money dance if there's anything, or the shoe game, whatever other things, tidbits they want to add in there. But typically the way I like to keep everything running smooth is very quick, direct, right off to the point, because at the end of the day, they're having the moments for memories, but the biggest thing is the party. They want to have that great time of enjoyment with their friends and family.
Speaking of the guests and the couples having a good time, how would you describe your ideal client?
Ideal client? That's a very good question, Matt. Ideal clients tend to be very easygoing. You can tell, and mind you have success in a business when you can turn down clients. Yes. And not take everything. See, I have a team of DJs as well that work for us. So my job is to be on top of the type of clients that we pick. So an ideal client would be somebody who's just very easygoing, is very trusting, and doesn't ask for a lot. I'm known for being one of the companies that keeps it simple. Simple lighting, simple setup. I don't oversell extravaganza. You want extravaganza? I'm going to send you to companies that I trust. A good company that I trust, Eccentric Events, Tony Sinatra. He has the big TVs, the all white sparklers, all that stuff. Great. We have some of the stuff too, but again, I try to focus on keeping it as simple. So our ideal clients are very, very simple, easy stuff. Most of the time, I get a lot of clients from the UK, a lot of clients that are within 75 guests or under. So I'm that person looking for the small, fun ones that are very intimate. And it's 250, 200, 300 people. Though this may sound bad, for the better part, they're inviting a bunch of people just to come and enjoy what they're offering versus people that are close to them and are there in their daily life all the time.
That's interesting, but I guess that's one of the challenges of DJing in Vegas, because we're the destination wedding capital of the world, that people are coming from all over the world. When I moved here, that was one of my fears, that I would have to know all of the cultural music, everything across the world. I commend you for DJing here and your vast knowledge of music that you must have across all genres. It has to be amazing.
2 weeks ago, we did an Indian wedding, Bollywood. A lot of that music, though I didn't know it and I was open to requests, so they were giving me requests and just texting me because I have a QR code. It goes to my phone. But when I downloaded the music and I played it, they were like, oh man, you're letting them play out the right amount of time. And the way you're mixing them, they're right on beat. So we're not missing a beat dancing. How do you do that? You don't even understand the word. But music in general is universal. You can't change BPM and music structure. You have only two versions. You're either going in three counts, one, two, three, one, two, three, or in four counts, one, two, three, four. And even as you hear me counting it, you can hear the difference, because one, two, three counts are like waltz. There's rock songs in waltz. There's country songs in waltz. There's pop songs in waltz. Same as in hip-hop songs. Some hip-hop songs are that way. So when you're taking in a lot of different cultures, whether I'm doing songs from the UK and artists from the UK or Asia or the Philippines or India, it's just, if you understand music, and I credit myself in the years of experience, 27 years as a DJ, it's a very long time to become adept to understanding music structure. I'm no producer. I wish I was, but I at least know how to mix music when it's thrown at me. Latin music, all that stuff. It just, you have to know how to work with it well.
That's interesting. I was asked recently, what's more important, the music that you play or your mixing ability? And you just hit both of those are very important.
Exactly. They are. Though, mind you, there's a DJ out here. His name is Adam. He's not the best mixed DJ, but the way that that man's personality is and energy, he selects music that's just great. So at the end of the day, people aren't paying attention to the mixing. They're paying attention to the energy. So it does vary case to case. Adam taught me a lot of things when I first moved here because I shadowed him. And there are things that I will always give credit to him as far as being a mentor towards me and helping me become even better than what I thought I was.
I love that you are giving props to the people that have trained you, because yeah, without those people, we aren't who we are without them. When talking to clients, do you have a process for weeding them out as well?
I do. A lot of people will tell you, never ask what a client's budget is. And I technically don't ask it, but I do bring up the word budget. And there's a reason for it. I need to know whether it's money-based or emotionally based. See, when people are shopping around for money, then it's not somebody I really want to take on, because I've learned so many lessons over the course of the years and clients that when people are concerned about money, they're the ones that are asking the most, paying the least. They'll give you sob stories. Whether they're true or not is not the point. The reality is that they're just trying to get the best deal for them. And I love to give discounts. My wife gets upset with me about that, because obviously we only do this strictly for a living. So every dime that we make counts towards our children and our household. But I will say this, I weed them out based on saying, after I go through my whole spiel of everything that I offer, I always save the cost for last. And I tell them, now the reality is, have you thought about how much you're looking to invest in a DJ? Has that been something that you've been working towards? Well, no, you know what? I haven't. I don't even know what DJs cost or this, this, and that. So I give them an idea, because I know the pricing of all the other companies. I give them an idea. I say, well, typically your average DJ, and you can ask this in wedding groups. I tell them, you can go ahead and ask the other DJs that you're going to speak to after me, or the ones that you've spoken to before me. You're going to see that the price range is anywhere between $1,200 to $1,800, depending on any extras that you're getting. But your average 4 hours is roughly around that window. And they're like, wow. Yeah, you're right. Actually, I spoke to such and such, and yeah, they kind of gave me that price. So it allows me to just kind of see where they're at budget-wise. Because if they're like, and I'm very transparent, I'll say, is money the concern for you? Or are you looking for the strongest experience where you'll feel the less stress during that evening? And they're like, oh, you know what? I didn't even think about that, Jay. And I tell them, well, you know, you want to think about those things, because even though I want to save you as much money as possible for you to have extra on your honeymoon, I do want to make sure that you understand that I'm giving you my entire heart for your evening. Every effort that I put in is going to come with all the care possible, that you're both smiling and happy and you want to shake my hand at the end of the night or give me a hug. And then that's what really sets them apart from the ones that are like, yeah, well, the reaction you see from that point. And those are the ones at the end of the day, if I tell them, well, we hold your date for 5 days. There's the ones that I will text back and the ones that I'll just wait to hear from later on. And then I prioritize them.
Exactly what you're saying. The bride that says, I'm looking for a DJ just to play my songs in order. That's going to be one that's not going to get a text back.
And I don't mind. I'm very big on requests. But there's that fine line of control. I want my songs played in this specific order. I can definitely do that for you. But if I am also playing in a specific order, I'm also gonna let you know now. Your dance floor may not be what you're expecting. So as you're making an investment in me, be aware that if there is no control of everyone dancing, it is because I'm sticking to the rule that you're applying. If you trust what I'm capable of, I will take all the songs that you give me and I will structure them in a way that it'll keep everybody going. Now, the beauty of it is because I use Vibo, which shout out to Michael for that, Vibo DJ has allowed me to have our clients put their must plays as well as notes within those songs of how much it matters to them, a story behind it, so that when I play that song, I express that in a microphone that allows everyone to join them on the dance floor as well.
I love it. Yes, shout out to Vibo as well, because they definitely have a great product that assists DJs in planning their music. I haven't prepped this question to you before, but I know that you're seeing so many different kinds of music, and I'm seeing a lot of Latin music in the charts. I'm seeing a lot of K-pop in the charts. Are you seeing any songs that are cross-genre that are becoming popular right now at your weddings?
Okay, so that's actually a really good question in essence of, do I play a lot of what's up and coming now? And the reality is, that's another thing I vet my clients on, their age, their music taste. If they tell me they want what's new, more than likely I sell them on one of my employees. One of my team DJs that I know is up to date. Generally, me personally, I have noticed cross genres. I mean, you're looking at K-pop like BTS, you're looking at Beyonce recrossing over again or like the second or third time into country, because a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, she's in country right now, but they forget that 8 years ago she came out with Daddy Lessons. So, and so I'm like, she's already cross country. She's been there. And so, but you're looking at these things, and then you have mumble rappers, and you have these weird new hip hop songs that you will never really hear me play that myself. But if it is a client that asks for it, I have seen in the charts right now. And thank you to you for your music list that you offer. Seeing that makes it easy to kind of see like, oh, I haven't heard of that song, or I haven't looked it up. And it opens up the ability for me to open up my Spotify, listen to it, and be like, okay, now I know what the song is. I familiarize myself. I have seen fluctuations in how these genres are now working. You got reggaeton that has rap in it, kind of a hip hop feel. You have pop, like R&B country, K-pop, really taking in elements of the 80s. And I've seen a very massive fluctuation. And then you have remixes. So I do ask my clients, are you looking for remixes? Are you looking for original versions? Do you like short mixing? Do you like long mixing? And just kind of seeing from there. I don't take on a lot of Latin events. I do them because I'm Latino and I speak Spanish and everything, but I try to hand them off to one of my DJs that I know will better perform for them that evening.
I think I have to give you a lot of kudos for that, that you know what you're best at, and to have a team of DJs that can support the what the customer wants, instead of saying, oh, I am the best at whatever you want, and then DJing it and then not meeting their expectations. So I have to give kudos to you, because not every DJ would do that.
Yeah, well, like I tell people, humility is very important. I'm not a slave to what people tell me, so I can't say I'm very humble. But I do have humility in me where it's like, hey, you got to know your strengths. You got to know your weaknesses. And as you're building your strengths and weaknesses, you got to hand it off to also the people that you're putting your trust into. And that's my team. The team of DJs that I have, whether it's Santos, my Filipino guy Santos, Jeff Tunque, they can play Spanish. They can play English. They got so much energy. Then we have Aaron, who's Afro-Latino. He does all our English and everything. Then we have DJ Tone. Tony, who does our Spanish. He's our only Spanish DJ besides myself. And then we have Vinny, who just does the simple weddings. Each one of them plays a major role in how that client's experience is going to be. Vinny's more the calm. They're like, hey, we're just looking for somebody calm, not super energetic. We don't need somebody on the mic all the time. That's Vinny. That's perfect. He's going to play the music and he's going to go ahead and touch the mic here and there. But he's going to be focused on just making sure that what you need is getting done. We need somebody with high energy and funny, will crack some jokes and maybe do some karaoke with us. That's Santos. Super energetic. We'll go ahead and sing the songs. We need somebody that dances and will come out. That's me. And so forth. So as a whole, I've picked each DJ to be able to provide the best experience possible coming from all-in-one events. And one fear that a lot of clients do have is, are you going to be the DJ for us? Because they do like the sales. That's my job to close them on the reason why the other DJ is going to be the best fit and why he works for me instead of them going directly through him. Because sometimes people think you're just handing off wedding, and it's not that way. Here at All-in-One Events, our DJs are our family. They're really good friends of ours. They're people that carry the prestige of this company on their shoulders, and they want to make sure that it looks as good as it can, no matter what. And I respect that with all my heart.
Wow, that's a great place to stop there for just a second. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about today that you think that you should share with our audience?
We've covered pretty much a good amount of stuff. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we covered everything that I really want to talk about, booking weddings and talking with the clients. It's really about the relationships that the DJs have with the couples, and price is price. The couples that want to pay $200, then there are DJs to supply that. If they want to pay the going rates, or if they want to pay the people that actually know how to keep a wedding on time and on track and flowing, then that's going to be a certain price as well.
At a potential client, price was an object. She went with another DJ. She wrote a review in the group about how horrible her experience was and that she should have gone with us, because she should have gone based on what all the other brides told her instead of what she financially thought was going to be the best decision. And that broke my heart, because she wrote to me and she was like, I should have just gone with you, man. And she just wanted to vent about the DJ. So out of respect, I didn't ask who the DJ was. She did tell me, but I'm not going to bring up who it is. But I didn't ask her. I just let her speak. And then that DJ is no longer allowed in the group. This is one thing I do tell clients, all my couples. Avoid any DJs that are not local, because you never know what can happen within the drive of them coming to your event. The further away they are, the less likely they can make it if something happens. Flat tire, God forbid, car accident, or anything of that matter.
How can people find you online and follow you?
As far as couples go, they can go to all-in-one events. That's A-L-L-I-N, the number one events.com. All our reviews are on there. You can also find me on Wedding Wire and The Knot, but the reviews are all on Wedding Wire. You can follow me at All-in-One Events on Instagram and on Facebook.
Very cool. Well, thanks, Jay, for being on the show. I really appreciate you sharing your story and definitely helping couples and DJs plan their weddings.
No, I appreciate you, Matt, having me.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for next week for another interview with another wedding pro. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Wedding Songs Podcast. Never miss a future episode. Subscribe today to our podcast. Follow us on Facebook at My Wedding Songs and send us a message about playlists you would like covered.